98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what is going on?
You know, we want to, on behalf of the Burns and Gambo show,
yes,
want to wish a hearty congratulations to Brock Osweiler, the former ASU quarterback, who at the age of 28, retired, having made, anybody? 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 I looked it up right before we went on the air.
$30 million.
Ooh.
$40 million.
You're close.
$42
million. $41
million.
My friends, that is living well.
Man, he didn't get many years. 5 years.
Truly.
Well, he
blessed.
Got the one good contract from Houston.
Yeah. 40.
But he may have blown his career doing it. Like, if he would have stayed in Denver, who knows? Like, he was the guy.
I don't know, man.
You were the guy in Denver.
Hold on a second. Time out on the floor. I'm going to take, Coach, I need a 20 here on this one. Can I take a 20? You're 28 years old. You got $41 million in career, or you didn't blow anything.
No, I know.
There's nothing, yeah. There's
but
nothing you screwed up.
What he's set for life at 28.
Houston was a disaster for him.
Huh.
And then he went back to Denver and then Miami. What if he would have stayed in Denver?
He might have had satisfying
it was an
football
offense
career.
Set for him. They designed everything. You were going to be the guy, and then he got that offer from Houston, and he bolted. The Texans only had him for 1 year. They got rid of him after 1 year.
I'm obviously being a little facetious, but it's still, when you think about, I mean, think about you as a 28-year-old man. Any of you listening right now, as a 28-year-old person, a 28-year-old human being, you've made $41 million and you just retired from your job.
Yeah.
It was 1994 for me.
Sounds nice.
28? It was 1997, 1999 I was 28.
Hmm.
Yeah.
2 years ago for me.
Well, on that note.
But $41 million away from that, so.
Well, I want to salute Sarah Cazell for making us all feel old and crotchety.
My pleasure.
Let's tell you what we're going
to... Don't feel bad. I got somebody that makes me feel old and crotchety every time I come.
Shout out to Chelsea.
Wow. Apparently here on the Burns and Gambo show, the 2 o'clock segment has been renamed. I take shots at my wife segment here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Like, yeah. Realize how old I am every time I walk in the door. I look at her.
Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
Weighing in on the return of Patrick Peterson. You want to start with the interesting stuff, or you want to start with the should we be alarmed by this stuff? Your call.
You know what? They've won two in a row. Let's go positive.
Okay,
let's go positive before you go negative.
Let's go positive before we go negative here. Patrick Peterson. 6 weeks, he says, and he met with the media today. This obviously is his first week back after being suspended. 6 weeks, he said, flew by.
Honestly, it flew by. You know, the reason I believe it flew by because I was able to kind of simulate weeks of practice, and on Sundays I kind of simulated games as well. So I kept my mind in the game, made sure I was mentally sharp, my conditioning, did everything that was necessary to make sure that I was ready to roll once today came around.
All right, clarification. What do you mean by simulating games?
I just went out and just had some cones out in the field. So I had two cones on both sides of the field from the 50-yard line, pretend like that was the quarterback, and literally ran routes. You know, so I was simulating that I was guarding a dig, simulating that I was guarding a post. And I worked all four corners of the field. So it would be times that, you know, the first quarter I ran 18 plays, you know, take a break. Second quarter, 15 plays, just simulated games to where I was equivalent up to about 55 to 65 plays on Sunday. So when it was time for me to get out here and start running, it wouldn't be a drop off. My body would be familiar of taking on that load.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, to think about that, he did that instead of just working out, lifting weights, doing some running and stuff like that. I'm going to simulate a game. I'm going to run 18 plays in the first quarter, 15 plays in the second quarter. I'm going to pretend. I mean, it's not like I'm just going to put cones out there. That's great. I mean, the only other thing you could do that might top that is just get a wide receiver to go run a bunch of routes and have a quarterback throwing him the ball, and that's more of a simulation than that.
Well, he went one step further. He did it at 7,000 feet.
I went back to my old stomping grounds. I went up to NAU. So I was up in Flagstaff getting a little altitude training. Beat the heat a little bit. It was great to be back up there in Flagstaff and get some great work in that nice cool weather and also in that altitude.
I didn't realize he considered Flagstaff his old stomping grounds.
Yeah, I was confused by that.
Back to my old stomping grounds.
Way?
I'm like, really? That's your you went back to Louisiana?
I could have offered him a place to hang out and live. Feed the goats.
You know what?
I could have offered him a place.
If he stays at your place, he could train like Rocky Balboa from Rocky IV. Chop some wood. He could do some sit-ups hanging upside down from a beam over your barn where you keep the goats, right? He could just pull a full Rocky IV.
Does Rocky punch frozen meat at any point? I don't know why that was the first thing I thought.
First
of.
One he does. He doesn't in four when he's getting ready to face Drago, he doesn't punch frozen meat.
Is that what your garage is like?
Instead of like the, it gets cold up there. It could be. I could just open up the double garage.
Slabs of meat.
I could put the slabs of meat up
hanging
there.
In there.
One thing is bears around.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain lions around.
If you're putting up raw meat in your barn in Flagstaff, you're going to attract a lot of unwanted attention from the wildlife up there.
Whole different kind of
thing. Yeah, and that's
right
not even counting Gambo's neighbors. I mean, it's just you're going to get all.
I live in a very farmy type area up there.
I smell raw meat. Where's the meat?
Hello to our friends in Flagstaff.
I swear this is a true story. I went to my neighbor's house, brought the kids once, and they had some pigs. They had two beautiful cows, and I'm sitting there, we're petting the cows and everything. And literally like a week later, she brings me over a couple of ribeyes from the cow. I'm like, oh my, and they were the best ribeyes I ever had in my life.
And you had to explain to your kids that the cute animals you were petting a week ago, now they're on your plate.
Petting the animals, petting the cows, hanging out. You know, they got some horses, they got cows, they got pigs. And then the next thing I know, I've got wrapped up bacon from the pigs.
Oh, no.
And I've got like three or four steaks from the cow.
Wow.
Like from the cow.
So here's other side of the Patrick Peterson course. So he's up at NAU. And so because of this, he said today felt easy. Piece of cake.
That's a piece of cake. it felt like a walkthrough for me because it also, I don't know, because I was so geeked, the anxiety, I don't know what it was. It was like I didn't even practice today. I felt really, really well. I had a great bounce in my step today. I'm just ready to get out there and face some live action. So hopefully I can be the first one to get an interception on this defense.
Okay, let's get to
let's get to anything.
Ooh.
Did anybody take Patrick Peterson in the pool? I think Jordan did.
Jordan did.
Yeah, I think you took Patrick.
You didn't
Peterson.
Want to because yeah, nobody
I took
ever
it
throws
out of
way
yeah.
out of necessity because there was nobody left for you to take. Ooh, Patrick Peterson dropping. Okay, so
we gonna go with the winner gets lunch from the other two on this.
We've never paid off one of those bets before. We're really gonna start now.
Well, let's just do it.
Okay, so the Byron Murphy, Tremaine Brock,
Patrick Peterson,
Sarah, you can have whoever's left on that secondary if you want. Go at Kevin Peterson, I guess, is who you're left with.
Buddha,
you can have Buddha.
I'll take Buddha.
You have Buddha. Okay, Sarah's right. Got Buddha.
The winner gets a nice lunch from the other three.
There you go. Patrick Peterson, the flip side of that coin. He was asked, do you still want to be a Cardinal? This is the negative part of the Patrick Peterson story.
I'm here. I mean, I have a contract with the Cardinals for, this 10 games and next season. Whatever happens after that, that's pretty much out of my control, so I'm here preparing for the Giants and preparing for the other nine games that we have on the schedule. And I'm just happy to be back to help my guys get better. We have a lot of football left. October is the meat of the season, and I'm focusing on that right now.
I'm here. I'm under contract. There are some around here in these halls who find concern with that particular way of phrasing that.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not one of them, so I don't really want to, because it's not a rip-roaring, yes, I'm excited to be back. I'm thrilled to be a Cardinal.
If you were
nowhere
working,
else, I'd rather be. Instead, it was, I'm here, I'm under contract.
No now, concerns.
I'm not concerned.
None.
I'm not concerned by this.
It's negotiations. There could be an extension coming his way. I mean, from the business side of it, that's the way you play it. From the professional side of it and the game itself, he said everything right. From the business side of it, he said everything right. It's still a business. He's his own entity. He doesn't want to come out and say, I'm going to be a Cardinal for the rest of my life. I want to retire here. You give leverage to the other side.
You don't have to say that, though, and still start off by saying, man, it feels so good to be back, ready to be back with my teammates, my brothers.
He basically tweeted that out, didn't he? Basically send that out? Like,
Gambo,
guess who's back? You know what I mean?
When somebody asks you, man, how are you liking it at 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station? You don't start off by saying, I am under contract. And I will be there for at least the next 2 years, whatever. He's like, man, I love it there. I love the people I work with. Stoked to be back. Stoked to be at it. Right?
I mean, I understand that, but I think it's apples and oranges. I mean, here's a guy that's, okay. I mean, this is, you know, he is a year after next year. He's got free agency coming up. And, you know, I mean, he wants to make as much money as he can. And he's probably, you know, I think he's probably just playing it safe. Let me just not say too much one way or the other.
I understand.
Got a contract. I'm here.
I understand what you're both saying. I'm a big action speak louder than words guy. Okay.
Fair.
He's up at NAU training at 7,000 feet with cones by himself, simulating games. He's bragging about being the first Cardinal to have an interception this year. He's acting like a guy who's glad to be back, glad to be on a football team, glad to be a member of this organization. Those are his actions. Am I going to get all freaked out by his words? No. If he were pulling a Jalen Ramsey, ooh, ouch, my back.
Yeah.
I can't go today. I need to go to see a specialist. I have a cold. I have the flu. I can't come to work. Then I'd say freak out. Freak the bleep out if you want. Then he's at work. He's working hard.
Sheik. Freak out.
Freak. Oh.
Freak out.
And on that note,
freak out.
It's not just that the Nationals swept the NLCS. They dominated the NLCS on the way to their first ever World Series. Look at them jumping for joy right now on our TVs. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
Here's the kick now. The pitch, fastball, is hit in the air to left center field. Robles calling for it. He's under it waiting. And he makes the catch! He makes the catch! Bang! Soon go the fireworks! A National League Championship winning! Curly W is in the box!
Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin, Fernando Rodney, Adam Eaton,
Chip Hale,
Gerardo Parra, Mike Rizzo. It's like the Diamondbacks won the National Championship Series last night.
Man, there is
maybe not quite, but boy, the connections are just overwhelming,
well,
aren't they?
We will have the former D-backs skipper, Chip Hale, on the program, the bench coach for the Washington Nationals at 4:15. We'll talk to him. I spoke with Huddy last night after the game, and he's actually back in Phoenix now, so he's taking his 2 days that he has left of paternity leave. He's going to take those right now. So he's back here in Phoenix with his wife and his new daughter. And so he's taking the extra. So he had 1 day of paternity leave. He missed game one. He's back here for 2 days more paternity leave. Then he'll go back and get ready. But it was good to see Huddy. He got a 4-out save last night. Actually hit Yadier Molina. Then he walked a batter.
Got
the bases
dicey.
Were loaded.
Oh, yeah. The go ahead and run at the plate that he was facing in Matt Carpenter. Got a little dicey there
and
in the eighth inning.
He got Carpenter out. And then he had a really good ninth inning. So Huddy ends up with the... Going the four outs to close that thing out. Parra got in the game, got a base hit. Corbin started the game, struck out 12 over five innings. Absolutely. A Diamondback feel with how many Diamondbacks were actually in that game and a part of that game yesterday.
Yeah, so the Nationals qualify for the first World Series that a team from D.C. has been a part of since, 1933, I believe, was the last time it had happened. They do it in absolutely dominating fashion. They had a lead in 31 of the 36 innings of this NLCS over the St. Louis Cardinals. They became the seventh team to never trail, not once, not one single inning in an entire seven-game series did they find themselves behind the St. Louis Cardinals, and they did it behind a pitching staff, and this is probably my favorite stat of the whole series. Pitchers in Major League Baseball this year hit 128. The St. Louis Cardinals hit 130 in this series.
Pitchers, all of the pitchers in Major League Baseball hit 128.
All of the pitchers in Major League Baseball.
The Cardinals overall hit 130. 30. Wow. It was an amazing, listen, you could look at it two ways. The negative is, you know, what Paul Goldschmidt got, one hit in this series?
1 for 16 with 9 punches.
Oh, my God. Goldie was terrible, but he wasn't the only one. I mean, the entire offense
got
was
it
terrible.
Right here. Marcell Ozuna, 3 for 16, 8 punchouts. Colton Wong, 2 for 14. Tommy Edman, 0 for 14. The Cardinals hit 130. They struck out 48 times and had 16 hits in the whole
series.
But
one of the things about the Nationals was just their starting pitching. Their starting pitching was so dominant. And what the key to all of it was really getting, now, outside of Corbin yesterday, just getting deeper into the games. But as we said this, they only really use six pitchers. They only use six pitchers with Doolittle and Huddy. They don't use a lot of guys. So the majority of the time, they're only pitching six guys. They got the lead yesterday, 7 runs in the first inning on 18 pitches. And then they just kind of coasted from there. It got close, but then they were able to close the door. But that starting pitching was fantastic. I mean, Scherzer and Sanchez. Remember, the first two games of this series were almost damn no-hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two games.
They took them into the seventh each time. Yeah, right. Sanchez and Scherzer did.
And now Strasburg and then Corbin, and now here they are. They're in the World Series. And that was as dominant a performance as you'll see in a sweep ever. I mean, they completely, they annihilated the St. Louis Cardinals.
John Shambi, who in part called some of the games on ESPN Radio, he was on the Baseball Tonight podcast. He said the Nats, and he means this in a good way, the Nats kind of faked their way to the World Series, and I'll let him explain.
They basically pitched the entire postseason so far, wild card, division series, and LCS. They did it with the four starters, with Sanchez, Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg, Doolittle, and Hudson. I mean, they're pitching six dudes. And then Rainey's gotten in a little bit. But for the most part, those six guys have pitched, I believe, all but 8 innings in these playoffs, which is pretty incredible. So in a small sample size, you can fake your way through it a little bit.
Yeah, which was kind of the point that you were making a second ago.
We brought up yesterday. They just weren't using anybody outside of those six. But part of the reason why is because they weren't taking a starter out after 4 innings. And those starters were going deeper into the game.
And yet the other side of the coin, think about how close they were to getting bounced. They were down 3-1
in the wild card game
until Josh Hader and Soto happened.
Josh Hader imploded.
They were down 2-1 to the Dodgers, and they were down 3-1 in the 8th of deciding game 5 until Clayton Kershaw happened, until Anthony Rendon happened, until Soto happened again, and then the absolute domination that they had. And now with their appearance in the World Series, congratulations, Seattle Mariners.
You are the only team in Major League Baseball to not make it to a World Series.
You're the only one.
Seattle Mariners.
Every other franchise has been to at least one except you. Congrats.
That's a franchise that at one time had Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, and Randy Johnson on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some of the brightest stars to ever play in this game. Yeah. Harold Reynolds, I mean, we would have Reynolds, Randy Johnson, Jay Buhner,
Ken Phelps.
I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. I knew there was one in there.
Tino Martinez.
Rain out today.
Edgar Martinez.
Oh, of course, the Martinez twins.
Don't forget Edgar Martinez.
The rain out today in the American League Championship Series pushes everything back. Here's Al Leiter this morning on Golic Wingo on who this benefits now.
I would think it would be Houston. I think you can now push Greinke back to going back to Houston. I would bring Verlander back on what would be Friday, game 5, so now there wouldn't be an off day. The reason why I say that is that you now will have four consecutive games. You can't take advantage of the off day. And which of these teams uses their bullpen more? And it's the Yankees.
Yeah, and because of that, I read today where Aaron Boone had not pitched any of his relievers in any game 3 straight at any point this season. Now he's got to go 4 straight. Whereas the Astros can lean on their deep rotation to eat up a lot of those innings where the Yankees are going to ask those same guys to throw again and again
I think the philosophy for the Yankees is real easy. You're going to get Greinke in the next game, right?
Yes.
You have to beat Greinke. And then at Yankee Stadium, you've got to beat Verlander. You have to win those two. Now you go back to Houston, you lose game six to Cole, because Cole's not going to lose in Houston in game six. And then in game seven, you don't have to face Cole in game seven, because Cole's going to go in game six. So for the Yankees, like, instead of going back to Houston having to face Verlander and Cole, even up 3-2, I mean, I like this much better for the Yankees. I swear I do, because I don't think you could beat Verlander and Cole in Houston. But I think you could beat Verlander in Yankee Stadium. Look, they had Cole on the ropes yesterday a lot, but he's just so good. But they had him on the ropes. I mean,
they were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. They had multiple opportunities in that game early, and they just couldn't cash in.
You've got to beat Greinke. There's no question about that. And then you've got to beat Verlander in Yankee Stadium. Now you're up 3-2. You go back home. Houston goes back home. Cole wins. It's 3-3. Game seven, if you're the Yankees, you're not facing Verlander. You're not facing Cole. You're probably facing Greinke in a game seven.
So now game four is going to be on Thursday. Game five is going to be on Friday. Series goes back to Houston if necessary for game six seven.
So would Greinke even be on 3 days rest?
No, Greinke's on normal rest.
No, for the game seven.
Over the game seven, he'd be on 3 days rest.
I'm not kidding. I actually think this works out better for the Yankees.
Cole has never pitched on short rest in his entire career. Ever. So if you're down 3-2 and you have to throw him in game six because the Astros are down 3-2, you're throwing him in a situation in which, much like Verlander did the other day, you don't know how a guy's going to respond on short rest until you ask him to do it. He's never done short rest before.
So if you're the Astros and you're up 3-2, do you save him for game seven?
I do. If you're up 3-2,
I
save him for game seven
on Sunday on full rest
rather than go for the throat on Saturday on short rest, not knowing what I'm going to get. That's what I do, but that's just me. It's time. Blitz the Bayou, and you can win an all-expenses-paid trip for two to New Orleans for some football and some gumbo, along with Bird Gang Travel Club. Listen for your name today. 4:30 is when we're going to call it out. There's still time for you to enter as well. Text Blitz to 62620 for your chance to win. Text Blitz to 62620. Blitz the Bayou. It's presented by Pepsi. You can see the progress of the ASU offense over the last few weeks. It has culminated in one player's breakout performance. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah Cazell is back in with today's Twitter poll question of the day. Did we just
go with
a good
one today? Like it. No, that's a really good poll question.
All right, friends at home, what does that mean if Gambo cuts Burnsy off saying it's such a good question?
What
does that mean?
It means it's a good question. Why do you have to read into everything?
We've explained
Why do you have to be so predictable? That's actually the question. Why do we have to read anything? Why, you're so easy to read, I could do it with my eyes closed.
Gambo, we already told our very smart listeners at home what it means.
That was like a week ago.
Okay, I'll try a new approach. Let's start it. Start it over. Jordan, start the whole thing over. I got a new approach. I got a new approach. Right, let's see if this works. Take two.
Okay.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah Cazell joins us with today's Twitter poll question of the day.
Sarah. Hello.
What's going on? What's the poll question? What? I'm not done yet.
No, that's go. Yeah. Keep going. I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep going.
No, I'm just. What's the poll question? The Sanderson Ford poll question.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that was really good acting on your end. Which former Diamondback are you guys happiest for as the Nationals move on to the World Series?
Wow, that is a great question, Sarah. Wow, that's fantastic.
For the uninitiated, if you have no idea what the inside joke is, I'll let you in on it. Every time Gambo compliments Sarah on the poll question, it's because Gambo, he himself came up with the poll question.
Was that better?
That was more... slightly more subtle, because you didn't interrupt me at the beginning of the segment to compliment her on the question, but yeah.
I kind of liked the delay.
Yeah, right? It was better.
I waited a little while before I said, what a great question to ask.
Well, every time Gambo compliments how great the question is, it's because he actually came up with the question in show prep. So, which former Diamondback are you the most excited for?
Yes, on the Washington Nationals.
Give me my options.
Your options are Daniel Hudson, Patrick Corbin, Max Scherzer, or Gerardo Parra.
Baby Shark!
Huddy.
Okay.
Huddy. But because I'm looking at the poll results right now, it's close.
Oh, yeah.
It's so close.
Huddy, because...
It's tied.
Because he got unnecessary grief for skipping out on game one to be with his wife for the birth of his child. And he didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that.
Yeah.
Huddy. I vote Huddy.
Okay.
I vote Huddy too.
All right. 36% of our votes go to Daniel Hudson. Another 36% go to Patrick Corbin. I did ask our people to vote and then respond with their explanation. Most of the people who responded with Huddy said just because of all the things he's had to go through throughout his baseball career.
ACL.
Yeah. Was cut this year, got traded this year. Yes. I mean, he was in Toronto when the year started.
Boy, yeah. What a good poll question that was, Sarah.
Truly.
It was fantastic.
Thank
you. It was really good.
Awesome. That's one of the best I've ever heard.
Vote for it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo.
We'll get Huddy on to it at some point, I'm sure.
16% for Gerardo Parra. 12 for
Maybe
Max
Shark,
Scherzer.
Baby.
Okay, here we go.
On and 10, they fake it to Benjamin, throw the quick slant. Ayuk has it, and Ayuk breaks free to the 40. It's a foot race to the 50, 40, 30. Ayuk to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Devils! An 86-yard catch and run for Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk, now that we're at the midpoint of the ASU season, we've
another
seen a
great
lot
wide receiver.
And we've seen a lot online of, okay, let's kind of review the season up until this point. Let's preview the second half of the season. We had a story up at ArizonaSports.com. The Athletic's Doug Haller had kind of a mid-season review story about ASU football. And from both stories, there was one kind of clear theme. Well, there were several common themes, but one of them in particular was the emergence of Brandon Ayuk and the numbers that he is putting up so far this year. 651 yards receiving. He's been a beast all year long. He's had three games of over 120 yards receiving this year for the Sun Devils. He's been kicking butt, Gambo.
Listen, I looked at his numbers from last year, and I thought he was good last year. He had 33 catches for 474 yards and three touchdowns as a secondary receiver. Him and Kyle Williams to N'Keal Harry, who is obviously the star. I mean, he's blowing those numbers away. I mean, he already has 31 receptions in six games. That was over 13 games. So, and he has 651 yards and two touchdowns. He's got five touchdowns. He's got two more touchdowns. He's got about 175 more yards, and he's only two off his receptions from last year, which he'll pass this week. Brandon Ayuk has become another one in a great line of Sun Devil receivers that are going to go to the NFL. I mean, he has. He's become another one of those guys that is just, you know, N'Keal Harry was a first-round draft pick last year. He was a first-round draft pick. They have done a really good job of putting wide receivers. Devin Lucien was a draft pick out of Arizona State. You had Jalen Strong, who was a draft pick out of Arizona State. You had Kyle Williams, who was a draft pick back in 2010 out of Arizona State. Don't forget Derek Hagan, who was a draft pick, a third-round draft pick of the Miami Dolphins. Sean McDonald was a draft pick of the St. Louis Rams. They've done a really good job of putting wide receivers in the NFL, and to me, you go back to Keith Poole. Brandon Ayuk is another one in a great line of ASU wide receivers. He's going to play in the NFL on Sundays. He's a really, really terrific wide receiver.
Offensive coordinator Rob Likens said yesterday he knew Ayuk would break out.
I've been telling him that. I said, you're going to be so much better next year. Just wait till next year. I've told you guys that several times. I said, just wait till next year. I'm telling you, because you could just see he's got the lateral movement. He's quick. He's got great hands, and he's fast. And so I don't want to say that like bragging or anything, but I'm just saying that I knew this was going to happen.
But you know what? It took something happen. Something needed to happen before Ayuk could break out. Jaden Daniels had to happen.
Right.
It can't happen unless Jaden Daniels happens, right? I mean, it's the very simple elemental nature of a quarterback throwing a ball to a wide receiver. A wide receiver can't have a breakout year unless a quarterback can get the ball to him. And that kind of, for as good as Ayuk has been, it can't happen unless Jaden Daniels is better than people anticipated right out of the chute. It cannot happen.
You're right, because a lot of times when you get that freshman quarterback who's starting as a true freshman, kid was in college going to his prom 6 months ago, right? And now he's starting Division I college football. You're expecting a drop-off on the wide receiver. It's not like he's not going to be able to get you the ball as much as you want. But that hasn't been the case because Jaden Daniels is mature. He's fantastic. He's going to be a great ASU quarterback. He really will. I do believe he's going to take ASU to places that they haven't been in a long time. And that will separate him from a lot of other good quarterbacks that have been at ASU. But listen, the kid's smart too. Like, he knows that he's got an unbelievable weapon out there. Brandon Ayuk is a really, really tough matchup for these teams. It's not like he's tall. He doesn't have the size of an N'Keal Harry or a Jalen Strong. He's like 6'1", but he runs great routes. He's got great hands, like what was just said. And then, you know, he's fast. So there's a lot to like about Brandon Ayuk. I'm curious to see where he's going to end up in the NFL, what type of round he would get drafted in, but he's really good.
6'1", so he's got decent size.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. I'll be curious to see where he goes to. I'll be curious to see what his, and I know a lot of I's need to be dotted and a lot of T's need to be crossed before that happens, but I'll be curious to see where he goes.
N'Keal was 6'4".
Oh, N'Keal's
he was 6'4".
Ayuk's not the physical freak show that N'Keal Harry is. Right. I mean, he's good. He's putting up really good numbers, surprisingly good numbers, but he's not the freak show that N'Keal Harry is. As far as this defense that they're facing this week in Utah, Likens compared it to Michigan State.
Very similar to Michigan State. They know who they are. Their system has been together for a long time. Their coaching staff, and they are who they are. They don't try to hide it. And they're just going to line up and try to, you know, do things better than you do, and then hit you really, really hard.
Big challenge this weekend for ASU. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this defense is fantastic. I mean, it is. I think this is the best game in the Pac-12 this year. I really do.
Join us this Friday. Fries, Tatum, and Shea in Phoenix from 2 until 6 this Friday. Supporting Pepsi. They are the official sponsor of our Blitz the Bayou contest. Again, we'll be reading off another name at 4:30 this afternoon. Plus, every time Christian Kirk scores a touchdown this season, you will score a free 6-pack of Pepsi mini cans at Fries Food Stores. Go to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details, but we look forward to seeing you, Fries, Tatum, and Shea in Phoenix this Friday. So, only happened 9 times over the last 50 years. Is Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, will the showdown, if that's what you want to call it, live up to the hype? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. It happened back in 2018 when Sam Darnold took on Josh Allen. Took place in 2015 when Winston took on Mariota. 2012 when it was Luck versus Tannehill.
And we'll probably never have a Winston-Mariota matchup again.
Probably not. Ugh. 2011, Cam Newton versus Blaine Gabbert. Couch versus Akili Smith. Peyton Manning versus Ryan Leaf. Oh, here's an all-time classic. Drew Bledsoe versus Rick Meyer back in 1993. And then Jim Plunkett versus Dan Pastorini in 1971.
Can we go over these? How many of these were
Well, can I tell everybody what they are first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Rookie quarterbacks selected in the top 10 playing against each other. When Murray plays Daniel Jones, when the Cardinals play the Giants this weekend, it will be the 9th time since 1970 two top 10 drafted quarterbacks as rookies will meet on a football field.
Go over each one. I want to see if any of these were great.
Plunkett versus Pastorini.
That was good. Plunkett was a very good quarterback, won Super Bowls. Pastorini is one of the great Italian quarterbacks of all time. But that was a good matchup.
Is he in the Italian Quarterback Hall of Fame?
Is there such
a building? Okay.
Plunkett was that was good.
Bledsoe Meyer.
No, it wasn't good. Bledsoe was a good quarterback. Myra stunk.
Manning Leaf.
Was not a good rivalry. Manning was great, and Ryan Leaf was out of the league in a couple of years.
Couch Akili Smith.
Terrible. Awful. They were both terrible.
Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert.
I mean, not a good matchup. Cam Newton's been a good quarterback, but Blaine Gabbert was terrible.
Luck versus Tannehill.
Same thing. I mean, that's probably the closest you could come right now to that's probably the best matchup where Luck was a great quarterback. Obviously retired early. Tannehill was a decent starter for a while. Never was great, but he was decent. So that's probably the most competitive of the where two guys were both at least good.
Winston Mariota.
Awful.
Darnold, Josh Allen.
We don't know.
Jury's
still out.
Yeah. So
does this have a chance to be the best? Because none of them are great. None of them.
Well,
none of those are great matchups.
See, it has the chance to be the best because all the other ones are such crap.
Right, and that was my point.
They're also garbage.
The best matchup where you was
the bar is low.
Luck?
Right, the bar is very, very low when it comes to these
things.
Because
there was always, because there was usually one quarterback that was the only year there was two really bad ones were Couch versus Akili Smith and then Winston versus Mariota. Because those guys aren't any good.
It's interesting. We played all the First Take sound yesterday. Obviously, that was a hot topic on that ESPN Embrace debate show yesterday about who would you rather have, Jones or Kyler Murray. And we're not going to go down that road again today because
Giants would rather have Jones. The Cardinals would rather have Murray.
And that was an interesting line in one of the stories we both read this morning on The Athletic talking about this matchup in which the guy is a New York-based writer. And he wrote, Murray and Jones will get compared regardless of the stats. Quote, I doubt either team would trade for the other quarterback. In fact, after seeing how enamored the Giants have been with Jones, I wonder if they would have taken him number one overall if they had the chance. Close quote.
They weren't taking Murray. I mean, right now, Murray has the better numbers. He's got a better completion percentage. He has more passing yards per game. He has a higher passer rating. He has a better yards per attempt. He has more rushing yards. Murray has the better numbers right now. But, you know, you've got to look at it and say that Daniel Jones has not played with a lot of his weapons. Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram and Golden Tate. He's had a lot of key weapons that have been out, so he hasn't had his full arsenal. Now, Christian Kirk hasn't played the last two games for the Cardinals, but the Giants have really been hampered by injuries more than the Cardinals with offense.
Jones hasn't played a single snap with his top four guys out there.
No, and Barkley has played a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, he's played 23 snaps with Barkley. That's it. Barkley got hurt, you know, during that game. But Barkley, Ingram, Shepard, and Golden Tate, he has not played a single snap with all four of those guys on the field. So it's different. Look, the Giants were never going to, would have never drafted Kyler Murray. I just don't think he fits with kind of what their organizational idea of what a quarterback should be. They did.
They hinted at that before the draft.
They did. So would they have taken Daniel Jones number one? Oh, can you imagine that bombshell in New York? Think about all the garbage they got by taking him sixth. If they had taken him number one, if they had the first pick in the draft and they had taken Daniel Jones, can you imagine the grief they would have gotten from the New York? But it's so far it's worked out for him because I know he's providing that glimmer of hope for them. It'll be, does this develop into any kind of a rivalry between these two quarterbacks because they're both
the
top 10 guys?
I tend to doubt it. None of those others were rivalry. You mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, we don't know about Darnold Allen yet. We don't know if that will turn into a rivalry. None of those other ones turned into a rivalry. Manning versus Leaf, no. Bledsoe versus Myra, no. Luck versus Tannehill, no. Winston Mariota, no. You know, the ones that you would think have the best chance of being a rivalry is the ones that are in the same division.
No doubt.
Because, but Cleveland drafted Tim Couch the same year Cincinnati drafted Akeli Smith. There was the potential for that to be a rivalry, but it didn't turn out to be one because both guys ended up being really bad. The Jets and Buffalo in the same division have a chance to be a rivalry. Arizona and the Giants, yes, they're in the NFC, but they're not going to play each other a whole lot. So, maybe, but both guys have to be really good and meet in the playoffs a few times for it to be a rivalry.
Kyler Murray today found out he won Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC.
Woke up this morning and my dad texted me, so I figured it out.
You sound thrilled.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, it's obviously a cool deal, but I mean, I think it just, you know, speaks volumes the growth of, you know, how we've been playing, attacking every week, you know, just trying to get better each and every day. So.
Completed 72% of his passes, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's the first quarterback to win the award since Carson Palmer did it in 2013.
You sound thrilled.
He's the first.
You sound so happy.
You sound thrilled, yeah. He's the first rookie to win Offensive Player of the Week since Ronald Moore in 1993.
The running back,
Ronald Moore, 1993, was the last rookie to win Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC.
Wasn't there a time when he was there was a long period of a Cardinal rushing for 1,000 yards, and it was like him or Johnson or one of those guys.
I remember Johnny Johnson.
Johnny Johnson or Ronald Moore. I think those were the two that rushed for that. We had so many years without 1,000-yard back.
Yeah.
And those were the guys that had done it.
Here's Cliff Kingsbury. He was asked if Kyler was excited about the award.
I don't think so. Yeah, that's that's not really his deal. I mean, he truly just wants to win games, and that's what he's passionate about.
And so this being like personal affirmation, Cliff said no.
No, not at all. I mean, we know we have a long way to go, and there's a lot of things we've got to fix and get better at. And so I think you just take each week for what it was. I'm proud of, like I said, what I've seen progress-wise, the work ethic and the way he's engaging teammates and staff and doing things that you have to do in that position. But we're a long way from where either of us want to be.
What a difference. If Rosen had won that award, he probably would have thrown a party at the W, had like, we would have got it framed. What do I get? I want to frame it and put it on the wall. Offensive player of the week. Wait, right?
Talk about kicking a guy while he's down. Yeah. The guy just lost his starting job. He's probably not going to get it back, and Gambo's taking cheap shots
at him. If he would have won it, he would have.
I'm saying you're taking cheap shots on a guy who's down, man.
Rosen's not a W guy.
No. You don't think Rosen's a W guy? I think Rosen's a W guy.
I think he would go to the aquarium and stare at the jellyfish, ponder the meaning of life. Yeah.
I don't have anything.
He's a W guy.
I was looking at you for insight there. I thought you were going to provide some.
But Card, you want me to say free the jellyfish?
I never know what your pet passions are going to be. Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you at this point?
Free the jellyfish.
The Cardinals are riding a 2-game win streak as they head back east. What could the rest of the season look like after that moment? An interesting perspective on that is coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.